here on a regular basis. This is part of my cycling route, and I belong to a cycling group called the Ogres. Old guys riding every Saturday. And we do the North Saanich Loop. And so every time I roll by, I speak a prayer of blessing over this church. And so I'm really glad to be with you here today with my wife, Christine. And Christine is a teacher, a third grade teacher at Pacific Christian School. And so, of course, Christine has worked many years with Margaret and with Sigrid. And I just wanted to say, I also had the opportunity when our boys were at PCS, they're graduated now, I was able to coach basketball for a number of years. And what a privilege it was to be able to coach John and Margaret's son, David, for a couple of years as he went through. I have to tell you, there was nobody that I coached that worked harder than David Lira as a player. And he had such amazing conditioning that the opposing team hated to have to guard him because he could run up and down the floor the entire game. And they're like, oh no, I don't want to guard that guy again. But an amazing young man that you have. I hope David's doing well. Please pass on my hello to him. One other thing, and that is Wenda, 90th birthday on February the 2nd. Well, February the 2nd is actually a very special day for Christine and I. And that is that 29 years ago, on February the 2nd, Christine and I went on a blind date. And I was told that, you know, here's a strategy, that if you go on a blind date with someone, go to a movie and then go out afterwards, and if the date is a complete bust, at least you can talk about the movie. And so it was in Langley, and we went to a movie, and then we went to Earl's Restaurant afterwards. And for 29 years, and we will be doing it this February the 2nd as well, on February the 2nd, Christine and I celebrate our first date anniversary by going to Earl's Restaurant. And so that's where we will be this Wednesday as you're celebrating your 90th, but on your 61st birthday, that's when Christine and I were having our first date. And so I just made a note of that. Well, it's great to be with you. If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 18. An interesting story, one could almost say a funny story. We're not going to quite get there yet. I want to bring you a couple of updates, but if you could get ready and get your Bibles in that spot, that would be good. As you know, my role, as was introduced, I'm chaplain. I serve in chaplaincy with Leading Influence at the BC Legislature, and Tim Schindel did that for here in BC for 10 years, and about 6 years ago, he said to me, hey, I need to go to Toronto and to Ontario. Could you begin to serve here as I begin to go there? And so after pastoring just down the road at Lifetree Church for 13 years, Christine and I took on this role. Well, she's teaching, and I'm down at the legislature. Tim yesterday landed in Ottawa. I suggested he catch a ride on a truck that was maybe going there, but but I think he flew. And Leading Influence has been a ministry to our elected officials, because we believe that when our elected officials, those in government, are well supported both emotionally and spiritually, they're going to provide better governance than those who are not. The term chaplain is one that many of them are still familiar with, but as our political landscape is changing, as times are changing, even the term chaplain is not as well known a term as it used to be. And so I might say that I am a spiritual care provider, and which would be a term that they would use in hospitals and maybe in our different institutions, and some would kind of understand that. Backing it up even from there, I believe that I am involved in the people care business. More on that in a couple of minutes. Tim may have told you this story, one day I was heading over, I was at the legislature, and I was heading into the New Democratic offices to connect with a member there that I have a good relationship with. And they have a person at the door, and I know her, and but she wasn't there that day. And so I knocked on the door and went into their caucus area, and I said, "Hi, I'm here to see Ann." And she said, "Well, who are you?" And I said, "Well, I'm Jason, and Ann's my friend, and I'm, well, what is that, what exactly are your intentions?" So she was the temporary person. She was the gatekeeper at the door. She's trying to, you know, protect things. This conversation was going on, and I was, you know, being polite about trying to explain to her who I was. And finally, one of the other staffers who recognized me was walking by and said, "Oh, Karen, it's okay. That's Jason, and he's Anne's spiritual guru." And I'm like, "Yes, that's right. The guru is here, and I'm ready to." What a critical time to be praying for those who serve us in elected office. And I just want to remind you again, if you would like to join us daily, receiving a daily prayer, you can go to praybc.com or Pray Canada. They're easy sites, praybc.com, praycanada.com. And I think there's a slide there, because this is the reality, and that is when we pray for leaders, we influence how they influence culture. That's an important distinction, that when we pray for them, see, we're looking for change, many of us. We're looking for renewal in our country. We're looking for change in our country. But the starting place for this is to be able to pray for those who are in authority over us. That's New Testament, isn't it? But by doing so, when we begin to pray for our leaders, we influence how they influence culture. So I would really encourage you, if you just want to pray along with us to receive a daily prayer, that there's one politician in British Columbia and or three federally, and just their prayers of blessing over each one. We don't pray, you know, "God, get them" prayers. Instead, we say, "God, just visit them, bless their family, give them courage today, give them strength today." And we start, that's our foundation. That's the place that we move from, a place of blessing. Well, it's been quite a couple of years, hasn't it? We've been pulled into the vortex, or seemingly, that seems to be the place that many of us have found ourselves in. A lot of conflict in our society, conflict within our churches. We've seen churches being pulled apart, members of the family of God perhaps debating one another more online rather than fellowshipping with one another over coffee. Families, I think we've all experienced this, families not able to get together at a holiday season, and how difficult that has been and how frustrating that has been, and how that has brought about a lot of anger and disappointment. And then sometimes when those families do get together, then it's difficult. And sometimes when they do get together, there's not a lot of peace, or they at least agree to this. They come to this place of, well, this is, maybe you've heard this phrase, maybe you've said it yourself, maybe this is your dynamic in your family, and that is, well, we just don't go there. We just don't go there. And we stay in a place of simmering peace. One of the people that I like to follow, talking about all of the conflict that's in our society right now and all the debates that are going back and forth, a wise man said this: "It doesn't really matter to the devil what side of an argument you're on, as long as you use carnal means to tear down the other person." Francis Schaeffer said that if Christians win a battle by using worldly means, they have really lost. And one person said this, and I think there's a slide for this, and that is, he said, "As I look back over my life and I realize the worst decisions that I have made in my life have been when I'm scared, when I'm bored, when I'm hurt, when I'm tired, and when I'm angry." I think we can all relate to that. I think that right now, as we are finished a couple of years in living in this pandemic world. I think a lot of people are scared. Some are hurt, bored. But man, are we tired. And man, there's a lot of people that are angry. And this is the place that we find ourselves in. How do we respond to that? How do we move through this? How do we move forward in this era that we are living in? You know, Eugene Peterson, who wrote The Message and other great books, The Contemplative Pastor and some other great devotionals, passed away a few years ago, and he was a thinker, and he had an office at home, and in that office at home was also, he was a writer, and was they put together a devotional, that a book that I have read, and I'm reading actually as a devotional, and what it is it's all of the things, all of the post-it notes, all of the little scribblings on the inside of the page, all of the half-written sermons, all of the thoughts that he had that didn't quite make it to publication, but were things that were just kind of stirring in him. You know those inner thoughts that we have? They may not ever find their way out of our mouths or onto paper, but they're things that we're carrying. And they cobbled all of this together and put it into a devotional book, and I've been making my way through it. And a few weeks ago, I read something, and I'm like, that's what I want to speak to this church about. Because I believe that it's a message for the churches of Canada for this time. An idea that's probably more simple than profound, but you know, when things get complicated as they are, it's time to simplify. The ability to simplify means to eliminate the unnecessary so that the necessary may speak. Here it comes. In its simple form, caring for others is the very best thing that we do. Caring for others is the very best thing that we do. We are at our best when we are attending to the needs of others, hurts, pains, sorrows, disappointments. In our church recently, this past week, I had Shirley out for lunch from LifeTree. Shirley was married to Paul for 59 years and lost him 2 months ago. He was sick for 18 months and ended up having a heart attack and passed. Shirley, let's go out for lunch. So we went down to Bantai at Broadmead, and as we were having lunch, I said, how are you doing, Shirley? And she, you know, it's hard. 59 years. And then she said these words to me. She said, I have never felt so loved as I have in the last year by this community. It has been transformational for me. I have never felt so loved. In her great moment of need, a church rallied around this wonderful woman of God. And her testimony is, I have never felt more loved, even as difficult as it is. And even though Paul is gone and all of my, she said, my phone has not stopped ringing. I said, is that filling the void? And she goes, no. It's not filling the void. But it's been so significant for me because in her moment, there was a community that was willing and able to care, speaking words of encouragement, binding up wounds, giving direction, mentorship. When we do these things, we are fully human. We never feel ashamed or guilty or mean when we are caring for others. We don't even have to do it well. We can stumble along through it. But you know what? What I've learned is that when you have conversations and connections with people over the years, they may not remember your name, they may not even remember the conversation that you had, but what they will remember is how you made them feel. That is what lasts. Caring for others often requires skill and stamina. I think that's perhaps why caring is so powerful and healing, that there are no shortcuts. when people ask me about my life at the legislature and connecting with MLAs and going into the building each day, I tell them this, because we show up every day. There's no other faith person, no other faith group that's there. I'm the only one. I mean, special occasions, people come in, that kind of thing. But on a day-in, day-out basis, when the legislature is in session, I'm there every day. And what I say to people is this, there is no substitute for time spent and for relationships built. There's some stuff you just can't shortcut. And relationships are that way. The best relationships, no substitute for time spent and relationships built. Care is not something that we can do occasionally when we feel a gush of sentiment. Life together as God's people, among other things, is the training in caring for others, and that we refuse to quit caring even when our caring is flawed. And here's what's really important, and that is that we refuse to pass the buck when it comes to caring. Don't we have a care team in this church? We let them do the caring. We cobble together a few people, we give them an assignment and say, your job is to care. And I get it, we're the body of Christ, we're made up of one body, many parts, I understand that. Would it be good to say to the intercessors, and I'm sure that there's some faithful, wonderful intercessors in this church, but would it be good to delegate our prayers to the intercessors? To say, okay, intercessors, you're in charge of the prayer of this church. Or is it the responsibility of every Christian to be able to connect and pray and fellowship with our God? I think the same thing is with prayer. So here it is for 2022. I believe that we have an opportunity this year, every year, past and present, but I think that because of the times that we're living in right now, I wonder whether or not we could make 2022 to say that, you know, this year we're all in the people care business. And for each one of us to say, how is it possible for me to cultivate a caring heart for the people that I interact with every day, whether or not it be in this fellowship or whether it be outside, what would it look like for me to enter into the people care business? Scripture, of course, talks about this. Let me read it from the Amplified Version, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. We are getting to Genesis. Paul's writing, so then, while we as individual believers have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, not only being helpful, but also doing that which promotes their spiritual well-being. I really like that. And especially be a blessing to those in the household of faith. C.S. Lewis, who we know well, says this, there are no ordinary people. Next to the Blessed Sacrament itself, your neighbor is the holiest object presented to your senses. And I believe that we can commit ourselves to lifelong apprenticeship in the practice of caring for others. The sweetest times that I have as a chaplain, spiritual care provider, care person, and guru. what we call the gold in the job that I get to do is to be able to get into and visit members in their offices, door closed, sit down, look them in the eye, and ask that all-important question when the politics is on the other side of the door, and the chamber where the debates take place is on the other side of the building, and to be able to say those all-important words, how are you? And in those moments, I have seen amazing things took place. Stories that you will never see, that Keith Baldry will never talk about on Global News, that Vaughn Palmer will never write about in the Vancouver Sun, that you'll never see or hear, God coming and touching our political leaders as the Holy Spirit descends. And what is the foundation of that? A person being in the legislature that is in the people care business, that is interested in them with no agenda, and asking them, so, how are you? One story recently, an MLA, I asked that question to her, and immediately tears just started to flow down her face. And we had a conversation about a family member. And after that conversation, I just said, can we pray together? Can I pray for you? And I just reached out both of my hands. And she quickly was in her, you know, at her desk, and she wheeled her chair over and she put her hands in my hands and we prayed. And after the prayer was over, she looked at me and she goes, I can't even remember the last time someone has done that for me. You see, the foundation of the care business is the springboard to the prayer business. I'm not going to be able to go into that room and say, hey, can I pray for you? It's like, who are you? But as we build relationship, then you have connections of the heart. And out of connections of the heart is the place where we invite the Holy Spirit to come. And whether or not that be in your family, whether that be in your extended family, whether that be in your circle of influence, whatever that may look like, and mine happens to be the legislature. But politicians are just people doing their best to serve under extremely difficult circumstances right now. So let's add just another wrinkle here. From the book of Hebrews, let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Now that adds a whole element to it, doesn't it? Now that kind of takes things up a notch. And let's read this Genesis chapter 18, where things for Abraham are taken up a notch. Genesis chapter 18. Let's read the first 8 verses together. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, so a little bit more modern maybe than some of the, maybe of NIV or whatever version you have. But the Lord appeared again to Abraham near the oak grove belonging to Mamre. One day, Abraham was sitting at the entrance to his tent during the hottest part of the day. He looked up and noticed 3 men standing nearby. When he saw them, he ran to meet them and welcomed them, bowing low to the ground. My Lord, he said, if it pleases you, stop here a while. Rest in the shade of this tree while water is brought to wash your feet. And since you've honored your servant with this visit, let me prepare some food to refresh you before you continue on your journey. All right, they said. Do as you have said. So Abraham ran back to the tent, said to Sarah, hurry, get 3 measures of the best flour, knead it into dough, and bake some bread. Then Abraham ran out to the herd and chose a tender calf and gave it to his servant, who quickly prepared it. Are you catching a theme here? When the food was ready, Abraham took some yogurt and milk and roasted the meat, and he served it to the men, and they ate. And Abraham waited on them in the shade of the trees. Abraham's the father, you know, he's been called the father of the faith. He's, you know, over the 12 tribes, descendants so numerous that they would outnumber the stars in the sky, descendants through Abraham's line more than the grains of sand on the seashore at Island View Beach and beyond. He was a great man of God who believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He had land, he had servants, he had livestock. This man was a giant. Also happens the most popular Sunday school song involving actions of all time belong to Abraham. Right arm, please. Nod your head, turn around. Eugene Peterson. He lived in a vast, soaring, splendid world of grace. He believed. That is why he is important to us. He is evidence that we are totally alive only when we live in faith of God. And yet, in here in Genesis chapter 18, there's this less publicized, less known part of Abraham, and that he really cared for people. Did you notice how he was almost, that he ran out to greet them? He bowed low. This idea of service to him, he took it very seriously. You ever been over to somebody's house and they have a gift of hospitality, and just the way that they make you feel at ease, the evening's over, you're driving home, and you're like, wow, those people really care for us tonight. Do they love us well? That can take place in so many environments. He did not treat these men as interruptions. Of course, they were more than men, weren't they? He didn't treat them as interruptions to his prayers or interruptions on his pilgrimage. It was this amazing gift of hospitality that he showed. He didn't know, maybe, that he was entertaining angels, and yet his hospitality and his care were part and parcel of his faith. Verse 2, he ran to greet them. He bowed low. Find some shade. Washing your feet. Hustled to the tent to find Sarah. Quick, make something. Reminds me of the father and the prodigal son, who the father rushed out to the son, didn't make the son come and grovel toward him. The father rushed out. I think this is what care looks like. This is what the cloak of care, when it's wrapped in a person, this is their posture. What might care look like for you this week? How is it possible for you to think about that and go home and say, this week, if I was to enter into the people care business, if I was to begin to exercise my care muscle a little bit more than I have maybe over this last year or two, what might that exercise look like? It's going to be different for each one. I would encourage you, are you willing to attempt to exercise that muscle? Because I actually believe it's the way forward. I believe that when we take our eyes off our own circumstances and put it onto the cares and the concerns of others, we ourselves are actually the main benefactor of that, and the person receiving it as well. But we actually receive more. You ever done that? You know, you go on a missions trip and you bless people and you come back and you go like, they were blessed, but man, we were really blessed. The worship team came up today, did a tremendous job, a blessing for all of us. But my guess is that they're as blessed in their preparation in being able to lead as you are in receiving it. That's the way it works, isn't it? That's what the people care business is about. Last week at our church, maybe you're familiar with the ministry of Extreme Outreach. You guys know Extreme Outreach a little bit, yeah? Cliff Power. There was a girl was testifying at our church this Sunday. She she's in her early 20s now, and she was growing up in Blanchard Court. You know where Blanchard Court is downtown? One of the most difficult areas in our city. And what Cliff would do is he would go down there with his hot dog cart. That was his way of expressing care, and he would give hot dogs to people. And that was her pathway to beginning to attend events at Extreme Outreach, then to come into a relationship with Jesus, and now she's on staff at our church. She gets up and testifies on Sunday, and she said this, God met me through hot dogs. God met me through hot dogs. You're thinking for some slick strategy? You know, it needs to be this complicated, well thought out, mapped out, administrated plan of evangelism. Wieners and buns. Salvation takes place. She was weeping. My life has been changed because somebody came to where we were and served hot dogs. That's People Care 101. We're going to feed you. We're going to feed you. I understand that this church is involved in the middle school that's next door here. When that middle school was being built, I thought about this church because I actually spent a couple of years working in a middle school and was involved in a food program in that middle school in Abbotsford. Colleen and Gordy Howe Middle School, the hockey player, Gordy Howe, they said, can we name a school after you? And they said, he said, yes, you can, but my wife is such an important part of who we are and what we do. Can you name it after both of us? And so we did. It was Colleen and Gordy Howe Middle School. I worked there for a couple of years and was involved in feeding kids because kids were coming to school in empty stomachs. And as we know, it's pretty hard to learn when your stomach is growling. That's People Care. It's getting engaged in the lives of those around. In the prayer room this morning, I'm sorry, I forget who it was. Somebody said, Lord, could we be an influence to those around us in our neighborhood? I think that's what I hear in that is like, Lord, how can we be part of the People Care business? Now, sometimes we can pray them in. That's a good prayer. Lord, let them come. Let them walk through the doors. More often than not, though, it's us going out. An invitation to come is usually the strategy more than just praying and asking God for them to come. It's praying and asking God and then going out and inviting them. God met me through hot dogs. Abraham, he was, you know, part of the big corp. But this personal engagement with visitors was amazing. The big thought is this, is that, you know, the last 2 years, a lot of disengagement. Lockdowns, on again, off again, leaving us disjointed, apathetic, squabbling. You know, oftentimes the major things, the minor things have become major, the major things have become minor. There's a lot of confusion and yet in that place, the way forward is for us to refocus on that which is of first importance, preaching the gospel, getting engaged in the lives of the people in our communities and serving them with our full heart. That's the way forward. I need to close here, but I can't help but these last six verses, they're just so interesting to me. I just need to read them. Because there's this story with Sarah, and verse 9, these three men, it's kind of this type of Christ, it's this angelic visitation, and funny little story here. So they say, well, where's your wife Sarah, they asked. Well, she's in the tent, and then the Lord said, well, I'm reading it out of the NIV now, out of my own Bible, but I will surely return to you about this time next year, and your wife Sarah, who's 90, will have a son. Wait a minute. Hold on for a second. This could be the Lord. Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him, and Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in age, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing, so Sarah laughed to herself at such a thought. She laughed. I'm worn out. Verse 13, then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, you know, will I really have a child now that I am old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, I did not laugh. Yes, you did. Christine teaches third grade, as I mentioned, at PCS, and when her PE class has basketball, then I go in and I teach them basketball. I kind of join the class. And last year, I was in there coaching the PE class for basketball. I'm retired from my coaching career, but I was doing basketball. We moved to a house 4 years ago, a new place in View Royal. We like to call it View Royale. Sounds fancier. It's a panhandle lot. And so when it snows, and it's one of those roads that they have in Victoria called the private road, makes it sound really fancy. Private road, that means like when it snows, you're shoveling your own snow, like you're in charge of any private road. If you have private road, maybe in like Monaco or Palm Springs, that might be worth something. Private roads in Victoria mean you're just more responsible for things. And so on our street, there's 7 houses, and most people are not capable of shoveling snow. And so when it snows, we have to shovel the panhandle lot, out the driveway, and all the way down the road. And so I don't really like snow anymore. We moved to Victoria, right? Like, we're not here for snow. Fast forward to the school. We're in the school, and the class is over, and we come out of the gym, and we're heading back to the classroom, and it's snowing outside. I mean, no snow on the ground or anything, just snowing. And one of the kids says to me, "Mr. Gertsen, do you like snow?" And I said, "Yeah, I like snow." And he said, "No, you don't." "No, you don't. Mrs. Gertsen told us all about it, that you have to, you know," and totally busted. But Christy and I have been laughing about that. It's like, "No, you don't." "Sarah, you were laughing." "No, I wasn't." This difference between the words we speak with our mouths and what we truly believe in our hearts is very significant in the people care business. That if we're saying the right things with our mouths about caring for people, but we're really not living that out in our hearts, that will get detected and people will push us away. There has to be a congruence between that which is coming out of our mouths and that which is in our hearts as it relates to the people care business. Are we speaking the truth? That if we confess with our mouths, "Jesus is Lord," and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. This congruency between mouths, the words that we share, and the places in our hearts. Just one final thought for you, and that is this. For those of you who are in your golden years, in your retirement years, notice that Abraham and Sarah, the most significant years of their lives were these years. Same for Moses. And I just want to say that this idea of God is good and I'm going to coast to the finish line, maybe the term you could use, I'm going to mail it in, there is so much opportunity, the wisdom and experience that comes from people who are mature and in their golden years. What an opportunity for you to be able to share the gold that God has given you over these past many decades. And these days for you are not just the years to coast to the end, but rather there's great value in who you are and what you bring to the table. You've probably heard the expression, "Youth is wasted on the young." What they need is mentors, people to be able to speak wisdom. They have the energy and they have the passion that needs to be coupled with those who have experience, wisdom, insight, and money, right? Those things, they go hand in hand. And so for those of you who may be in that place, many, many good years ahead. And I believe that those years can be the people care business years for you and mentoring years. And so I just leave you with this thought here, and that's, I think there's a last slide here. For Jesus, the congruence between the inner and the outer, the heart and the mouth, the motivations and the behavior, the public and the private, is a crucial matter of integrity before God. And let's make 2022 the year of the people care business, that Highway Church would be known, that the people outside these walls, when they think about and talk about this place, that they would say, wow, that's a community that cares for those outside and they care for one another. Be part of the People Care business. You will be rewarded. Thank you and God bless you. It's my cycling bottle.